Coversals kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Let's catch up with Alan Irwin to reflect on the weekend action for Everton. Of course, defeat at Spurs. Morning, Al.
Yeah, good morning, Steve.
Oh, well, it's not like Everton to lose in 2017, is it?
Let's remember, Tottenham are a pretty good side and invincible at home this season, aren't they? It was always going to be a tough one, Steve, no question about it. And Tottenham deserved the win. They were much the better side. Don't know whether you caught the whole 90 minutes, but if you're watching highlights of it, it wouldn't have done the game justice. I would have thought Tottenham dominated possession-wise, particularly the first half. And I think they deserved the win. And, you know, it's another learning experience for Ronald Koeman.
We were all talking Lukaku against Kane before the game, and actually it proved that they both had some sort of say in it.
Yeah, well, right up until the stoppage time period, it looked as though it was going to be Kane 2, Lukaku 1, and that was how it would finish. But a couple of late goals just maybe took a little bit of the glory away from Harry Kane in that sense. But it was a battle of the two strikers. That's how it was headlined, and it very much turned out that way, although I thought Lukaku didn't have too many opportunities. He had one in the first half where he had a chance to take on Vertonghen, and Vertonghen got the better of him. And then Vertonghen slipped in the second half as Lukaku, you know, scored that goal to get the outright record in terms of Premier League goals for Everton. But Harry Kane's a great finisher, Steve. He really is. I mean, the second one was presented to him on a plate. It was all of Everton's own making, really. A terrible defensive mix-up. And the first one, I've heard people criticising Gareth Barry, you know, turning away from the ball, and Joel Robles not moving quick enough. I think there's an argument on both of those cases. I think Robles, as a goalkeeper, any goalkeeper's disappointed to be beaten from outside the box, and I think he did have time to adjust and, you know, maybe react a little bit quicker.
I thought it was a fantastic strike, I have to say.
I take the glory away from that, being an ex-goalkeeper.
I just think a mark of a really good striker, saw his opportunity, opened up, you know, didn't have much to aim at.
That was virtually his first kick of the game as well, Steve. He'd hardly had a kick in the opening 15, 20 minutes. That came in the 20th minute, and he'd been snuffed out somewhat, despite the mega amount of Tottenham possession. But I think in a certain way, Everton, you know, handed the initiative to Tottenham just in the very makeup of the side that Koeman picked. There was no width for Everton at all. There was too many midfielders almost getting in each other's way. You know, when you've got Schneiderlin, Barry, Gay and Tom Davis, I know some of them played, you know, a little bit further forward than they used to, but there didn't seem to be that same understanding and the same ability to actually carry out the instructions, really, that Koeman had given them. So it was a bit of a strange one to me.
Schneiderlin's not made too many errors since he joined Everton, but actually he gave Tottenham an absolute gift, didn't he? I mean, it was... One thing you don't do as a midfielder in that sort of position is try and turn as he did on the ball.
Yeah.
He virtually said, "There you go, Tottenham. There's a goal for you."
Well, again, you've probably got a case to blame all three. Williams wasn't looking at the ball when Robles rolled the ball out. Should Robles have even rolled the ball out to Schneiderlin when there's players around him in that position? So, you know, arguments are plenty. As I say, Koeman's got a bit to learn from, really, in that respect. But I don't know whether Robles just should have just, you know, cleared the ball long without, you know, getting those two involved at all.
It's interesting how the manager sort of reverted to putting Gareth Barry in the starting lineup because it's an away day and it's against a tough team. And yet sometimes managers compromise on the sort of football they've been playing.
Yeah, and that's why I thought he should have maybe stuck with Lookman, who he put on the bench. It was the only change. Barry came in for him, and the midfield just looked too congested for me. And there was players... You know, when Everton were looking for width on the right and left, you know, we ended up with Idrissa Gueye popping up on the right-hand side occasionally and Tom Davis on the left, and it just didn't seem right. There wasn't really the outlet that Everton were looking for when they did get hold of the ball, which was, you know, a rarity in itself. So, you're right, you know, managers do some, you know, you go to one of these top sides away from home and it's a mindset, and sometimes... You know, you are handing the initiative to them when maybe, you know, you stick with what you're good at and take the game to the opposition a little bit more. It would have made for a much more open game and maybe even more goals if Everton had done that. So maybe that was, you know, what Koeman was thinking.
Now, away from the game, a quick thought on something you did last week. It was an evening presented by LLS, an organisation which promotes and helps produce the next coaches of the future across Merseyside. Great organisation, LLS. And you were hosting an evening with Steve Walsh, none other.
Yeah.
So Steve talked a little bit about sort of talent spotting and his job at Everton as well. What did you learn?
Yeah, it was quite an eye-opener, really, Steve, because he's a lovely man to start with, and he's certainly got a tale or two to tell, hasn't he? Because he's been in the game so long in terms of scouting, you know, not just for the clubs that we recently know in terms of Everton and Leicester, but, you know, he's been at the likes of Chelsea as well, and he's been up in the North East. He's you know, you go back long enough, Chester and Bury and places like that. So he's got vast experience, and he really is a talent spotter. And I think all the students that were there and, you know, the parents alike certainly gauged a real insight into, you know, the work that goes into it. This is a man who's probably never switches off. You know, it's 24/7. He's very much involved in, you know, getting out there and people reporting to him in terms of players that might be available, players that have caught their eye, etc. So, I mean, his role has changed because he's now the director of football at Everton. So he's not actually, you know, talent spotting in the same way as he probably was 10, 15 years ago. But out of all those Leicester players that were involved in the title win last season, the only one that he didn't bring to the club in one capacity or another was Schmeichel. Which tells you something, doesn't it? He said N'Golo Kante was his best ever acquisition. And Ranieri didn't want him. He was knocking on his door every day, he said, to eventually persuade him that this was the man that they needed, you know, whereas Ranieri wanted a tall, dominant midfielder. I think he's got that now in Didi, who's got him the sack, probably. But it was a real, you know, very interesting evening, and I suppose the one that stood out at the end was the one question that we got from the audience, which was the prize question, was, is there any player who you regret not signing? Do you know the answer to this one?
Go on.
Seamus Coleman. he'd spotted him many, many, many years ago, recommended, etc., to various boards and managers, and he wasn't taken on board. Everton took up the option. So he's got him now, of course. £60,000 Everton paid to Sligo Rovers, but when he was at Sligo Rovers, he'd already recommended him for another club, not Everton.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.